Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. I'm John Schaefer, and once again, we're dipping into our archives for today's session with the British-born singer and songwriter Robin Hitchcock. Now, Robin has been here many times over the years. He's had a long career in rock, but we've chosen this episode from 2006 for a couple of reasons. Number one, it contains a couple of my favorite performances by Robin Hitchcock. And number two, he brought in with him the drummer Bill Rieflin, who died last month and who was a regular drummer for REM after the retirement of Bill Berry, and in the last 7 or 8 years of his life was one of the drummers in the band King Crimson. But he played with many, many other musicians in a long and productive career, and joined us back in 2006 as part of Robin Hitchcock's band.
On this roof I play this riff, play until my hands are hollow. You can play to the tomatoes, you can play to the Apollo.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Paul McCartney's not the only British rocker to stick around for a while. Robin Hitchcock has been making his own surreal brand of psychedelic rock for about 30 years. Not only that, he's made occasional forays into the movies as well. Right now, he's got a new band and a new CD. The record's called Ole Tarantula. Robin Hitchcock and the group are here to play live in our studio on Soundcheck today. We'll start with the title track from, the song, actually, Adventure Rocket Ship, Robin Hitchcock and the Venus 3, live on Soundcheck.
This goes out to Sir John Lennon.
Adventure rocket ship, inside a head parade, a message from the future, you crash upon a star. Attention rocket ship, a message from the grave, you rock me like a pharaoh, I hear you in my voice, you crash upon a star. Adventure rocket ship, Tallulah having sprung, I wait for you to come. Adventure rocket ship, spacemen, unzipper me with love. I'm coming for you someday, as faithful as a mummy. You rock me like a pharaoh, hermaphrodite in style. You crash upon a star. You crash upon a star. Rocket ship, projected on a wave, I wish I was the future, I kiss you in the past, I'm coming for you someday, as faithful as a mummy, you rock me like a pharaoh, hermaphrodite in style, you crash upon a star.
You crash upon a star.
That is Robin Hitchcock and the Venus 3 live on Soundcheck. The song is Adventure Rocket Ship. Robin Hitchcock making a return appearance on Soundcheck this afternoon. Good to see you again.
Thank you for having us back, John.
And that's a pretty neat band that you've brought into the studio with you here today.
Neat and tidy.
Yeah, Peter Buck on loan from REM playing guitar along with you. Backing vocals and bass from Scott McCoy. And Bill Rieflin is manning the drum kit this afternoon. That song, Adventure Rocket Ship. I'm on the surface, Robin, kind of, you know, one of the a typically strange, surreal song from you. But, you know, this the kind of reference to mummies and pharaohs and stuff. Are you referring back to, you know, your old band, the Egyptians, however obliquely here in this?
No, no, that's about the only thing I'm not referring to, really. No, I mean, it's not... that song's about an angry ghost. No, I'm sorry, not an angry ghost. It's a hungry ghost.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, a hungry ghost. And so it's one of those things of, you know, the dead and the living have been trying to contact each other for centuries. The dead just get there first, really. And even the living have trouble communicating. And I guess those are some of the thoughts swilling around inside that song.
Sounds very Eastern.
Well, the West hasn't done a very good job of running the world.
Uh-huh. All right. Now, Pitchfork Media, this, you know, noted online site, has described you recently as a guy, quote, comfortable with his strangeness, unquote.
Well, that's a bit like saying that a pot of yogurt has a lid on it, you know, or that teeth are used for eating. Does this mean that he's uncomfortable with his strangeness, or he doesn't have one, or what?
Uh-huh.
I don't know, boy.
So the idea of all these people branding you as being eccentric and quirky over the years, you don't have any problem with that?
Those are their terms, and I think they should be made to account for them. I mean, you know, I'm glad I'm not described as a mass murderer or a charlatan or a cheat, but as I said, they're utterly unhelpful. It's like saying a stick of celery is something you can buy.
Right.
You can buy justice. If you had enough money, you could buy the Brooklyn Bridge, you know. It's not a useful term.
But you can't buy longevity in this business, and you have managed to, you know, stick it out through... I mean, just think of all the different trends that have come and gone during the years that you've been making music. What do you ascribe your durability as a musician?
Well, I just do the same thing always. You know, I'm like Peter. You know, Peter finds a restaurant he likes to go to and he goes to it. I mean, so does Robin. You know, you just do what you do and it goes in and out of fashion, really. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter. I think the thing is to not run after things, really. My strength doesn't really lie in ambition. It probably lies, if in anything, in sustain. I just... thank you, Bill. Yes, but it's not like I'm going anywhere. I'm just, all I do is I be, mm-hmm. I remain. And as we travel through time, whether we like it or not, I appear to have lasted 30 years. All I've done is remain where I was, and 30 years have gone past. Eventually, I'll expire like everything else. And I may be seen as a very stubborn person or something, but it's not even that, really. It's just...
So if it's not ambition, then you would be unlikely, for example, to follow Sir Paul McCartney onto the stage of Carnegie Hall with a big choral/orchestral thing.
Well, if he walked on, I could walk on after him.
Yes, yes, I suppose.
With a mop and a bucket. But I don't...
Well, what do you... I mean, look...
He's entitled to do that because he's already done everything else. You
right.
Know?
But you dedicated that song not to Paul, but to John, that performance you guys just did.
Just wanted to wind Paul up, you know. He'll get his own back.
All right.
We'll find that he's, you know, I don't know, does something with the REM catering or something. You know, I mean, it's fine. I think the Beatles were an organism, and I think sort of pulling them apart afterwards was pointless. They were great because they transcended their John Paul, George and Ringo-ness. And, you know, I love them all as the Beatles, and I'm sad from them all as individuals. But, but you know, I always thought of that song, Adventure Rocket Ship, in my head as one of those Lennon-y songs, that sort of descent. You know, the first three chords are the same as Mind Games, I think. So that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. I found it really interesting in that McCartney piece that he was saying that he didn't have this great need to perform classical music, but that it started with a phone call. People call him up and said, would you be interested in trying something like this? And he said, yeah. And it's just like, you know, Jonathan Demme, you know, calling you up and say, would you like to be in this movie? It's not like you want to be an actor or anything.
No,
but,
right.
But you said, yeah, sure, I'll try it. And that was what McCartney was doing. I thought it was really cool.
Right. Scott McCoy, the bass player, and Robin Hitchcock, whose new album is called Ole Tarantula. And actually, Robin, the last time you were here was shortly after the release of The Manchurian Candidate, in which you had a relatively small but very, very evil little role to play.
Thank you. Much like in life.
Yes.
All right. So what was the, how did this particular conglomeration of musicians come together?
Well, again, kind of through stasis. The thing is that we've known each other for ages. We also, the Venus Three is also three quarters of the Minus Five, which is Scott's band when he's not fronting the Young Fresh Fellows. They're also half of REM, or slightly more than half of REM at the moment. So, you know, and Peter and I have played together for centuries. Scott and I have just had our 20th anniversary. Bill's the new boy. Didn't meet him till 92. Whoops. You know, we're all together all the time anyway. This is just, we've formalized it and made a Robin Hitchcock and the Venus 3 record. But we've probably been doing this for 10 years or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got an excuse to do it on a professional level and actually do promotion and, you know, make a record. But we're just a bunch of chaps who've, you know, it's what we do anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right. But you're going to play something for us again here in the studio, and it is time, Robin, to decide on what your second song is going to be.
Let's see if I can get the guitar to work. And the tremolo pedal. Okay. Let's do the title track, then. This is Ole Tarantula. Got me humming. Out in the desert, the cacti home. Tarantulas cluster in their underground dome. Ole, tarantula. Him for me, ole, tarantula. Through the dark window, she squeezes her eggs. Out they come tumbling on their spindly legs, ole. Ole,
Once again, Robin Hitchcock and the Venus 3 live on Soundcheck, and the title track from the new album, Ole Tarantula, live performance here in our Soundcheck studio. And I think, Robin Hitchcock, last time you were here, that song, you had just finished writing it. You did a little acoustic solo version for us sort of as a test run here in our studio.
Did that go out live?
And it did not go out live, in fact. We stayed after the end of the show, and you recorded
right.
that. And you also, as I recall, were working out Adventure Rocket Ship, although that was not yet done, and we didn't actually get a full version of the song. So these are things that have been kind of gestating for a while, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
So probably. It was after Spooked.
It's all pretty recent stuff, but yeah. I mean, we did the first session for this in September 2005, which mm-hmm. is in living memory, like President Clinton.
Now, there are a lot of, you know, songs about hungry ghosts and hairy arachnids and stuff, but there's also a very touching song on the album called New York Doll. Now, earlier mm-hmm. this year, on Soundcheck, we spoke to the young man who made this film, this documentary called New York Doll, about Arthur Killer Kane.
Oh, you spoke to him?
Yeah.
Oh,
was
right.
was that the inspiration for this song?
Yeah, I saw the movie. What's his name again?
Oh gosh.
Okay, I shouldn't. Have
I'm lucky enough I can remember having done the segment.
Right.
No,
but our crack team is scurrying in the control room now,
yes,
and I'm sure
they're going to hold his name up letter by letter against the glass screen.
But
beginning with, looks like a triangle. A W. Okay, no, they're shaking their heads.
But anyway, Arthur Kane, tell us the story behind New York Doll.
The story behind the film is the story of New York Doll bass player Arthur Killer Kane, who kind of came in at the top with the New York Dolls, and their goal was to kind of go out the bottom in as much style as they possibly could. You know, they were about fun and decadence. They weren't
right.
about trainers and beats per minute, and you know, the life was its own goal, if you like, and they decided to live that, and Arthur got to the bottom and they fell apart, and mm-hmm. he fell through a window and found Jesus, and he got quite badly beaten up, that's Arthur, not Jesus, in LA, and he wound up being a Mormon, a librarian, living in a small apartment in LA, and the filmmaker finds him there and interviews him.
Greg Whiteley is his name.
Greg Whiteley, yeah. I think Greg Whiteley might be a fellow Mormon. I don't know. But anyway, so
yes, he is.
Mr. Whiteley interviewed Mr. Kane in his apartment and his library and things pottering about and remembering stuff. This is intercut with clips
mm-hmm.
from the Doll's heyday.
Yeah.
Young Arthur and young Nolan. And all. It's also worth pointing out, I think by that point, by the time the movie was made, three of the Dolls were already dead.
Right.
And you know, mission accomplished.
And Arthur soon after the completion of the
right,
film.
Right, but not before they get the call from Morrissey to reform for the Meltdown in London in
the Meltdown
2004.
Festival, right.
And so the camera follows Arthur up to New York, where he has a rehearsal. He meets Johansson and Sylvain for the first time in 20 years or something. And Arthur's hair sort of begins to grow back, and he begins to look more like a rock dude.
Yeah.
The polka dot shirt appears, the trousers get tighter, and he's suddenly in this world. You can see him looking at Johansson, who's smoking a cigarette, which is, I know, it's almost illegal to mention it on the airwaves. So it's pretty much next to doing crack, you know.
Let's hear a little bit of the song that resulted from your watching of the film.
Oh, you should have just played the song.
Well, here it is. It's called New York Doll.
Till the pages close.
The song's called New York Doll, inspired by the documentary film of the same name about the late Arthur Killer Kane, original bass player for what many people consider to be the original punk rock band, the New York Dolls, original glam rock band, too. And Robin Hitchcock and the Venus 3 with us in the studio. That's from, Robin, your new record, Olay Tarantula. Yes, you in a plural sense. So you'll be doing these gigs with the ensemble, with the band, the ensemble, and there'll be some more filming happening.
Yeah, John Edgington, who did the legendary Sid Barrett documentary about the legendary Sid Barrett, is doing one on us. So he's filming that gig, and he's filming the gig in Seattle, and this will be tied in to go. He also filmed us making a record. My wife said, why don't you chaps make a record in a week at our house in London during the heat wave? So they did. They flew over and we made an album in the house in a week. So we're going to be playing some of the songs live in front of what Kimberly calls the boys and girls. Mm-hmm. And then, it'll all be filmed. So it's going to be the progress of these little songs from me singing them on my roof to John and a humble camera crew of one, to this massive orgiastic scene of us playing these things at Maxwell's before a crowd of several.
All right. Meanwhile, the new album is called Olay Tarantula, from Robin Hitchcock and the Venus 3, a band which Robin has described somewhat confusingly as some fraction of several other bands, including the Minus 5 and REM. Somehow they all come together and they sound great, and they've been performing for us here on Soundcheck this afternoon. Robin, Peter Buck, Scott McCoy, Bill Rieflin, thank you all for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
San Francisco, but you're never gonna ride that way again. A girl's gonna know her situation.
You've been listening to an episode of the Soundcheck podcast from our archives. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. You can see and hear much more on our website. Check it out at newsounds.org.